The next case is 0485 Dayton Bar Association versus Daniel O'Brien. Mr. Tuss.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Mark Tuss. I'm a member of the Dayton Bar Association and counsel for Relator. And with me at council table is Bar Counsel for the Dayton Bar Association, John Ruffalo. Mr. Ruffalo won't be participating, but he wanted to be present here for argument. I understand that I'm the only one arguing, so I don't know if I have 15 minutes of
argument.
You have
15 minutes.
And I will take whatever time. I don't think I'll need 15 minutes. What I'd like to present to the court this morning is first what I think the case is not about. The case is not about our burden of proof or Relator's burden of proof, or about finding a violation. The panel and the board found that the Dayton Bar Association found or proved by clear and convincing evidence the violations that are before the court, and also that those violations were committed. I think that they were submitted a stipulation of facts and other exhibits. So this case is not about a finding or a burden of proof. This case is really about discipline. And this case is about this court's kind of a fundamental thing, your original constitutional jurisdiction to regulate the bar and perhaps punish and decide what punishment and what discipline is in order. Let me try to at least address what I think there are two aspects to discipline. The first one is fairly easy and I think is very limited in terms of my argument. The case law, as I reviewed it, as developed by this court for the violations, and I need to get my glasses out, for the violations that have been alleged is straightforward. For violations of DR 1.102A5, where a lawyer engages in conduct that's prejudicial to the administration of justice, and DR 9101C, where a lawyer shall not state or imply that he's able to improperly influence a judicial or legislative body, this court has consistently, I couldn't find any cases, consistently held that violations for those DRs required or was appropriate for some form of discipline.
Well, there are very few statements that a lawyer can make to a client that attack the integrity of the judicial system than to say, you give me some money and I can get the case to go the way you want it to. And the board says public reprimand for that conduct. I'm astonished, frankly. I don't say this very often, but I'm really astonished at this recommendation that we're a lawyer. I know he's inexperienced and he was contrite and all that. He knows he made a mistake. But that's a character issue. That's why our opinions have been so consistent on this. Is if you suggest that you can affect the system by giving me some money and I can get a favor, I got a favor coming from this judge, goes right to the integrity of the system, people's confidence in the system, and that's what this lawyer did.
Well, Your Honor, I would agree, and that's why the Dayton Bar Association is here. We are the ones who filed objections. We are the ones that initiated the action in front of you. We have the same.
I'm talking to the wrong person, I know, but for the record, this needs to be said because we have to be very, very firm on this kind of conduct to deter it so that lawyers simply know that they are going to sit out. As far as I'm concerned, they're going to sit out some period of time if they suggest that a judge can be influenced by money.
I would agree, Your Honor.
What he did. Are you satisfied with the, would you be satisfied with the recommendation of 6 months stayed?
Your Honor, I think the Bar Association is looking for something more significant based on the facts. I wanted to kind of get into that. I think the case
Mr. Tuss, your brief indicated an actual suspension of at least 1 year must be imposed. Is that what you're asking us to do in this case?
At least, Your Honor. The term,
when you say at least,
that's why I get to the
original
jurisdiction.
I'm trying to find out what your position is. Your brief says at least 1 year must be imposed for suggesting Judge Hall and the judicial system were corruptible. So it's a minimum of 1 year. What is the maximum you're suggesting? Or are you suggesting that?
Well, Your Honor, my suggestion, certainly the maximum would be an indefinite suspension.
Okay.
I don't know that is appropriate. That's why my opening remarks were that this goes to the core of the court's constitutional
What does your legal research show would be appropriate in this instance?
Well, Your Honor, my legal research is the case law. The case law starts at 6 months. The case of Deddy, which is fairly recent, in 2002, that's where the respondent put pressure on a domestic relations judge. That ended with a six-month suspension. That seems to be inappropriate in this case based on the case law. Things that are closer, the case of Atkins, we have a judge, a federal judge, strike that the respondent attempted to bribe a federal judge. That led to permanent disbarment. I think that's at the other end of the spectrum. We don't certainly have that here in this case. The things that fall down that we've cited, both by respondents' counsel and by relators' counsel, the Bennis case dealt with $10,000. That was actually paid, as I understand it from the case facts, paid to some person, some attorney, who was then going to get someone in the governor's office to effect clemency. That led to an indefinite suspension. And the other case that I think is closer to the facts is Consolidate, which was a $2,500 payment for a shock probation case. And that, my understanding there is the $2,500 was never paid. That led to an indefinite suspension as well, Your Honor. So if you're asking for parameters, you're asking for ranges, certainly what we have here factually, and that's what I wanted to get into. I think the case law is pretty settled. The facts, I think, is what I can help you with, because I come from Montgomery County and I can tell you what facts have an impact. First facts I would look at is I would encourage you to review the audio tape, which is the Exhibit 3, Joint Exhibit 3, and the transcript that goes along with that, which is Joint Exhibit 2. If you follow along as you listen, you'll get a flavor of what was going on. I think Respondent's Counsel has portrayed this as terminal stupidity, a borderline of violation, and the board at least, found some remorse. I think you can make your own judgments on that. That's not the judgment I made or the judgment of relator. I think if you listen to that tape and follow along with the transcript, this was an attempt to sell $12,000 to come into the door in order to get payment for work, perhaps to influence a judge. More important, I think, I asked at the panel hearing whether this individual, Mr. Wallace, who is a complaining witness, was slow pay, as I'm familiar with criminal defendant clients, and the respondent responded that absolutely it was slow pay. So the $12,000 was not an attempt to make this right or anything like that. It was an attempt to bring in more money, in the opinion of relator's counsel. I think the other facts, we have a complaining witness who is not a very savory person. He's a criminal with a criminal record. But in the end, he's a member of the public. And the public also includes the members of the bar in Montgomery County and the Dayton area. Those facts are out there. Mr. Wallace is very aware. He's the complaining witness here. Very aware of the proceedings today. I've tried to keep him informed because I felt it was my duty. He's not a savory person, but as counsel for relator, I thought that was important. He's aware of what this court will do. He's also aware of the board's recommendation of a public reprimand. So if a message is going to be sent to the community, and in this case, Mr. Wallace is African American, and in the African American community, the system is viewed with some skepticism, great skepticism. And certainly Mr. Wallace is not a spokesman for any community but himself and his family. But certainly this court can send a message to the community that this type of conduct does not just simply lead to a public reprimand, which I think for the man on the street is going to amount to a slap on the wrist. I think to the legal community, the same message. This case, while I would not say that it has widespread notoriety, is known by certainly lawyers who frequent the courthouse and lawyers who are in that area. If you're an office lawyer, you may not have heard of this in Montgomery County. We're not that small of a bar by any means. But if you're over in the courthouse, this is a topic, and the facts of this case, to some degree or another, are known by people. And I think, again, if you're out to send a message, and I don't mean that in the bad sense, I mean that in the positive sense, send a message to the members of the bar, is that they will realize, as Chief Justice Moyer says, that this is not something that is just a public reprimand matter, that this is something serious, and that this is something that, as you say, goes to character. And I would also say it goes to the character of the judicial system. If we can influence the judicial system through favors or payments, then we have no judicial system. We really just have a gambit in who can pay the most for their case. Last fact that, again, I think this court may not be as attuned to is we have Judge Hall, who was the judge involved in this case. Judge Hall is a good and fair judge, but no matter what the how you view what was said by respondent, his opinion was affected. I mean, his reputation was affected. His reputation was harmed. And he had to recuse himself for a case that he should have never had to get off of, had to transfer it to another judge, and certainly has had to deal with his colleagues and peers, meaning whether judges or other lawyers, with this issue, and at least with the implication that this judge was susceptible to favors.
Did this case receive any media attention?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. Not to my knowledge. Certainly the discipline will, though. The discipline will be published in the Dayton Daily News, which is our county newspaper, our county-wide newspaper, and certainly it receives the publication in the O-Bar and our Bar Briefs, which is the local bar magazine. So, Your Honors, I would suggest that certainly the case law gives you guidance and it seems to me a suspension of some length is what is appropriate discipline here. I think the board just got it all wrong. They didn't hear this case. But I also would point out is that the facts of this case, whether it's sending a message to respondent, sending a message to the public through Mr. Wallace, who's the complaining witness, sending a message to the bar members in Montgomery County, and also sending a message to Judge Hall that this is a matter that is taken seriously by the Supreme Court. For those reasons, I would encourage you and ask and request that the discipline as recommended by the board not be followed, and that some indefinite or some suspension, again, the Bar Association is looking for a year definite, would be imposed upon respondent. Be happy to answer any questions or try to.
Thank you, Mr. Tuss.
Thank you.
Respondent, pursuant to our rule, waived oral argument in the last case in our calendar 03397 has been continued. Marshal, please adjourn court.